It's the Playhouse Podcast with Kat and JJ on demand, even if you're on the can.
Dude, come on.
So everyone's heard about opposites attract, but is this something in your life that you're really embracing, or could it actually lead to divorce? We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the podcast. Here we go.
Get out with LPP.
Can you help me?
Get out with LPP.
Can you help me?
Get out with LPP.
Can you help me?
Get out with LPP.
Everybody.
Other people's problems. It's OPP. You want to hit us with a text or a DM or an email and kind of get your situation on the radio. We can't keep you anonymous. Obviously, we can put you on voice change, or we can just bring you on the radio like Sonia has been willing to do. And you just got back from Spain, right?
I went with a bunch of girlfriends. Okay. It was a great time. Like I said, I loved it. And we found a new beach, actually, because they're all over.
Yeah.
In Europe. I've never been to one. There's some here in the States. I've never been to one here. So we all went, and like, you know, it's not Rome, but when in Rome, right? We went topless on the beach, not
got
bottomless.
It. Yeah.
And there's now the husbands have found out, and mine is not happy.
Why is he not happy?
How does he care?
I've never understood a problem with this. And even if you go topless here in the U.S., you know, you got to watch out for people taking photos. Over there, it's such the norm. And I wish we could kind of grow up here a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've got a great set.
Okay, good for you.
And, you know, we were all together. It was us girls. We actually, like, you know, sat way away from everybody else. We weren't, like, even near anybody else. There was nobody with cameras, like you said, because it's so normalized over there. It's on TV. It's in advertisements. They're on billboards. You can see nudity everywhere. And I wish, you know, that America would get with the Free the Nipple movement a little bit more here myself.
Same.
So with your husband, what's the drama? Is he feeling like you cheated on him? Is he feeling like he wishes he would have been there to, like, protect you? I don't have a jealous husband like this, so I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit, like, possessive in that way that, like, if guys even look at me when I'm fully clothed on the street,
he gets
a little bit like, oh, you know, did you have to wear that today?
Wow.
So I kind of, you know, over here I deal with it because we're together, and I didn't do it. It wasn't like a cheating thing. It wasn't like I was going to be like, oh, I'm going to go find a man with these out. It was just like us girls. We were like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and he just cannot get it through his head that, like, nobody even saw them. There was, like, the beach was, like, empty that day. It was, like, overcast.
So I wanted to put you on hold for a second. I want to get people's thoughts on this. You go to Spain, you decide you're going to do a little nude beach action. Does your husband have a right to get mad about this?
I don't.
Flip the script. Would you get mad if, let's say, Derek goes to Barcelona with his friends and decides to go to a nude beach and gets naked? Would you be mad about it?
I would not be mad about it. Lisa, this is, like, totally my relationship. She said, tough, said the kitty. My husband would be mad if I didn't take advantage of that kind of situation. It's so true. Like, here in the U.S., I get so sad that I can't just, like, take my top off and tan that area.
You can.
It's gonna end up on YouTube, you know? But over there, it's, like, encourage, do it. Feel free with your body. And, girl, I would just say you need to go see somebody and talk through your problems, because this is your problem, not mine.
I would love to know if anyone else has done the nude beach thing, and did your mate get mad about it?
Like, what if Trisha joined Reagan over there and they found a nude beach?
I wouldn't care.
How would you feel about it?
You wouldn't? Zero cares about that.
Wow. I feel like that's not the response I thought you'd give.
What would I get? What did you think
I feel like
say?
You would say, keep your top on.
I don't care.
For some reason. I don't know.
Hey, if you're proud of your body, let it roll, man.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And it's just like in Cancun, you think you have to be in, like, top-notch shape to go to these resorts, and you don't. Everybody's got a full belly, and they're just drinking and happy to be in the sun. You will not find perfect bodies on these
nude
beaches.
I went to one nude beach in my life, and we just found ourselves there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like it was a destination. But everyone, I've always said this, everyone looked like a principal.
Okay.
Like, all the guys look like what your high school principal looked like.
Yeah.
You're not there to look at the candy. Now, I'm sure there are some beaches that big time models go to and they're shooting on the side or that, you know, stuff like that. Well, the one time I did see when we were in Mexico, there was this dude. He was pushing 5 bills. Okay. He was a gigantic dude. He was very, very, very obese. And he had to be one of the richest humans on the planet because on each arm was a 19-year-old Playboy model.
Yeah, probably.
And immediately my wife goes, how much money do you think that guy's worth? And it was the same thing, but they were all naked.
Yeah.
All three of them. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And immediately you start looking around for the cameras. Like, is this are they doing a parody movie or something like that?
Yeah.
But how would you feel if your mate went overseas and just took it all off? Mm-hmm. No sex, no dirty play, no cheating.
For Don to text in. Don does not agree that women should do stuff like this.
Sonia had mentioned that she heard my daughter was spending spring break in Spain and thought she'd call with her story.
Yeah, she had just gotten back and she said that what happens in Spain doesn't always stay in Spain. One of the ladies that she went on a girls' trip, let the words out. Like, obviously, this woman's husband wouldn't care that they went topless, but they found one of those topless beaches. And she said, went in Spain, took our tops off, enjoyed ourselves, had a great time. And then now finding out, like, her husband does not like that news, that he's very upset with the fact that her boobs were out for the world to see. It's like, you gotta get some confidence. She's your wife.
Unless his concern is that pictures were taken and they may float around and they could be detrimental to her career or embarrassing to their family. But I mean, for the most part, you're just gonna take off your top and get in the water, right? You're just exposing a little more of your skin to the beautiful sunshine.
I feel it's very frowned upon if you are taking photos at a nude beach. I think that maybe there are signs even that says no photography, but Glenn had said, you can't call in right now, he's working. I agree that they should be free to be exposed. Heck, I've seen a lot of guys shirtless that have bigger chests than most women. If it's okay with them, why not for the women as well?
Jared had said, I don't want anyone looking at my wife's boobies. Those are mine. And I said, dude, you should call the show real quick. It'd be interesting to get your take. He responds with, you're not clowning on me this morning. Oh. Next time, LOL.
Well, okay, so you can say it. You can text it to us, but you don't want to say it to us. I'm not going to get on your case. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe you've had people step out on you in the past because they were free with their body. I don't know.
Tony had said, who complains about a hot wife taking her clothes off? This is ridiculous. And then Andrea had said, his insecurities are a sign. You should look for an out.
Yeah.
That might be jumping the gun a little bit.
I do think, yeah, I don't think you should even think of divorce, but I think he needs to fix his way of thinking. You know, you've been married for how long and he's still bossing you around. That's not right.
There's a certain part of possession that comes with marriage that person's mine.
Your name is Patty.
What up, Patty Cake? What are you up to today?
Working.
Okay. What do you do?
I am a samples specialist.
Like at Costco?
I send out samples. I get emails all day long and I send out samples.
Gotcha.
Oh, got it.
All right, all right. So you take a couple of seconds to win $2,000 on the radio. I always like to ask people, what do you think you're going to use this money on? I don't say bills because that's no fun.
Probably go on a vacation.
There you go. Okay, I like that. It's a good start. All right, so here's the deal.
Our anniversary is in June.
Oh, happy anniversary. When, how many years?
It'll be 27.
Oh, man, that's around
That's a journey. All right, well, you deserve this money for hanging out with him that long. So let's get to it. $2,000 up for grabs. The biggest decision you need to make right now is who's going to give you the best chance at winning the $2,000, Kat or myself?
You.
Okay, so coulda, shoulda, woulda. Right. Oh, Kat gets so butthurt when people say me, but I'm gonna help you.
Three plays in a row.
I'm rooting
for you. And nobody's won with you.
I'm a helpful guy. I'm gonna give you to Kat. She's gonna explain exactly how this works, and I return to get you $2,000. So good luck, Patty. Be smart. Be quick. Be accurate. Let's go.
All right. Hold
you on. Too.
She said you too. He's headed out. He's walking up the stairs. And I have your timer ready. Are you composed? Are you somewhere where you can make some sound decisions?
I should probably turn my radio down, but I can't reach it. Okay. I'll just tune it out.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. I'm going to start your timer. You give me the first word that comes to your mind, okay?
All right.
Okay. First word is Betty.
Rebel.
Okay, interesting. I don't think he's going to say that. That's just my hint for you. I'm gonna let you change it if you want to.
Okay. Betty Boop.
Okay. All right. Mary. M-E-R-R-Y.
Christmas.
Candle.
Stick.
Duck. Duck. D-U-C-K.
S, is it stuck? Like
no, duck.
Blue?
Like quack, quack.
Oh, duck.
Yeah.
Duck. Walk.
And female.
Male.
Okay. All right. He's got his arms out like, man, oh, man. Are you okay?
I can tell two things already. That by watching, number one, the time that it took to get this done, and then watching Kat's eyes roll as you answered.
I did not roll them.
That this might be a difficult look right now.
I told you, I have goo on my eyes, so I will look rude all day.
I bet you do. All right, for $2,000, let's go!
I like to start with easy ones, but this is
there
gonna,
isn't one?
I'm gonna try. Okay, here's one. Mary. M-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Okay.
So all right, we got that one, right?
Woo-hoo!
All right, let's go, Patty!
All right. Female. Female.
Woman.
No, she did opposite. Hey. Male. Patty, patty.
Yeah.
We're supposed to do same.
What?
Supposed to do same.
Yeah. He's supposed to match that. Yep.
Yeah,
ideally.
I was supposed to, right. Is this the first time you're hearing this, Patty?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Just didn't really understand it. Got it.
Duck.
I would have said, I wanted to say duck bill, but I was thinking platypus, so that's not it. I would say duck, I would say, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Mallard.
It would be walk. A duck walk.
Duck walk. What the hell?
Candle.
Burn.
Stick. And this last one, I gave her a chance to change it because I didn't think you'd say what she said. All right, so Betty, B-E-T-T-Y.
Betty Rubble.
That's what I said.
Oh, and then you changed it, and then you changed it?
I would not.
Oh, my God.
I thought you were going to say white.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. I should have said white.
But you know what she said? She said Betty Boop.
Oh, Betty Boop.
But she initially said Rubble. So, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. That was my bad. I couldn't live with myself. If that was her fifth one that you would match, I would die.
What Trish and I did is we started looking at homes. Like, we started looking at houses. We started talking about downsizing a little bit. And maybe consolidating some stuff. Yeah. We're actually going on, we're going to go tour a house today.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
You are not.
I swear to God.
You did this whole thing about, no, I'm going to have grandkids come back and we're going to pay off this house. And why would we sell it? So why now?
It makes complete sense, the place we're looking at, because it has everything we want. Plus, if we bounce on our house and we bounce on our lake place, we pay this off and then we're just free and clear. So financially.
Is it on water?
Yes.
I knew it.
Financially, it makes a lot of good sense for us. It's just different. It's a smaller home, but way more property.
Yeah.
And it kind of checks off all the little boxes we want, knowing that our oldest son will come back from spring break. He'll find a job. He'll graduate in May and he'll be gone. And the other two kids are barely ever around anymore. So
the lake house I was looking at?
No.
Wouldn't that be a...
I thought you said it sold right away.
It's still on the website for the same amount.
They pull those things down ASAP.
Yeah.
Other direction. So okay. Excited for that. I mean, it's just we've been in our place now, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. And it's not that it's like too much for us. It's just I've hit that point in my life. This was my wife 10 years ago is adventures. Let's do it. Let's look around. Let's make new memories. Yeah. And I kind of hit that spot last night. I was like, yeah, you know what?
Yes.
Why not? You only get so many times around the sun. And I wouldn't mind making a quick move. I mean, it wouldn't change anything here. It would just be a different lifestyle, a different community, a different neighborhood.
That's where I'm at right now. Yeah. I want to sell all of our belongings. I want to sell our couches. I want to sell everything and just go with like the smallest amount of stuff.
Here's the weirdest part. This place comes fully furnished if we wanted to.
Oh, nice.
Then what do we do with
all
our stuff?
Other butts have been on it, though. You're going to have to get it washed. I wouldn't be able to live like that.
Well, it's so weird. You get a cleaning crew in there for $500, and they scrub everything.
Where do you get all this money? You have the same freaking job I have.
I have ripping this company off for years blindly. I kind of forgot that Lindsay Lohan was a mom.
Well, she's been in Dubai for like the last 4 years, living her best life. She is married now. She's got a baby now. And I don't have godparents for Liam. We have not designated anybody. We will sometime soon. He's 11. I think we'll try to wrap that up by the time he's 18. But I would say, so we're going to find out who her child's godparents are here.
So Luai's godparents are Steph and Aisha Curry?
Yeah. My husband knows Michael Mina, the chef. And we were in Dubai and Michael Mina kept saying to Badr, he was like, you need to introduce Lindsay and Aisha. I need them to meet. So she happened to be coming to Dubai and we met and we just clicked right off the bat.
Hmm. So there you go.
Steph Curry is her kid's godparent.
And Aisha. So the godmother and godfather to her child. And I can't tell you the last time that I saw my godfather. It was probably the day he was given that title. When I was an infant, how sad is that? Like, I asked my parents, like, what made you, how was the decision? And I don't know if I could get, like, a normal answer. I know that my godmother is my mom's best friend from school. And last time I talked to her was at my wedding reception. She brought me oven mitts. I got oven mitts from my godmother for my wedding gift. And my sister has the best godmother in the world. Birthdays, Christmases, check-ins throughout the year. How you doing? How's life? I'm like, how'd you get so lucky?
My godmother was a family friend who lived in Ames, Iowa. And unfortunately, she was a divorcee. Mm-hmm. And she suffered from early dementia and gave all her money to a cult.
No way. What a sensational story.
They really robbed her blind at the end of her life.
What was the cult all about?
It was a religious thing. She gave all her money to a wonky religion.
Okay.
And they had promised her that, I mean, she knew she was suffering from dementia, like the early part of it. And they told her, you know, God's going to make you right and just keep giving us your money. And she did. And the hard part was she was kind of disassociated from her children. Her children grew up and had lives. And I think one lived in California, one lived in New York. And I don't think they checked up on her very often. And by the time she got really sick and they kind of came back to take care of her, she was penniless and very sick. And I think the last couple of years of her life were really unfortunate. And then my godfather is my Uncle Frank, who my biggest memory is when I graduated high school. I didn't see him a lot because he had moved away and my mom and he weren't very close. But he came to my graduation and immediately came up, shook my hand. Hey, congratulations. And he goes, oh, you know what? I forgot your card because I had to take the car. I was going to take the motorcycle, but I forgot. And then I never heard from him again until my mom and my dad passed away. And then he showed up at the funeral and he goes, well, do you know who I am? And I go, do you know who I am? And so and as I look back at my kids' godparents, all of them were like family friends or relatives that were close in our life and still are. And they were always cool. It was birthdays, Christmases. They always got something and people checked in. As a godparent, at least my understanding is you want to be as much of their life as possible, but you're there just in case, right? You're the fallback in case something happens to the parents, that you make sure that they follow through with their Christian commitments. And that's
but you
that's
are kind of not the person that will take the child unless
that's not
assigned.
A legal obligation. Okay. No, it's more of a faith obligation. Like you make sure that they follow through with, you know, if they're in the system as far as getting confirmed and their first communion and stuff like that and becoming, you know, a good steward of their faith.
I want to know anybody else out there that got the short end of the stick when it comes to godparents. Like, have you not heard from yours? I am 38, about to be 39. I have not seen or heard from my godfather. since then.
Do you know where he is? Is he alive?
He's on my he's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Oh, so he sees you all the time.
Yeah, I guess so. If he wants to count it as that.
How many gifts do you think he owes you? Have you counted that up?
Yeah, well, like, if we're going to do
a birthday and Christmas gifts, is he owed you?
Well, the schedule my sister's on, I want a birthday and a Christmas gift.
He
needs to make up for all 38 and a half years.
No. This stops when you become an adult.
My sister is 35 and she's still treated like a princess by her godmother.
Here's my understanding. If it's a religious commitment, once you get confirmed into the church, your godparents are kind of off the hook because that's kind of your last thing as far as is baptism, first communion, stuff like that. Once you're confirmed, you're an adult in the church's eyes. And you could still be a great human and support them, right? But I think you're kind of off the hook as a godparent. There's no real duties for you after they be after.
Well,
confirmed.
He was never on the hook, so now he can back on the
if
hook.
Something would have happened to your parents. He was legitimately responsible for your faith upbringing.
God help me then.
So you got hosed. What are you going to do?
I do feel gypped. I'm like, what was the process?
Welcome to it. I've been exposed my whole life.
4186, please call. I'd love to hear from you. Also, Leslie, you are admitting that you're the horrible godparent. Please call. I want to know why you have not stepped up. I want to know why you're like my godmother.
Boy, you are broken today, aren't you?
I want gifts. I told a story on my Snapchat. I'll tell it now so you don't have to go see it. But this picture triggered me last night. It is a kid in a crossing guard uniform. And it says how snitching starts. And I wouldn't say that that's totally true. But you did have to make sure that the crossing guard manager knew if kids were not minding you or listening to you because you were of authority.
So our elementary school went first, third, kindergarten through sixth.
Yeah.
And in fifth grade, all my friends decided they were going to do the crossing guard stuff because you got out of the last period a little bit early.
Yes.
So you got to go get your flag and then you'd hold it out and our buses were all lined up. And I specifically remember going in and saying, hey, I want to be a crossing guard. I want to do this. And this was in fifth grade. I mean, how old are you in fifth grade?
Like 10.
10. Our principal looked at me and he goes, not a chance. And I go, what? And he goes, you're in here almost every day. There is no way I'm going to put you in. Yeah. I know there's a supervisor out there and everything like that. But his big thing was like, oh, you're going to wave the buses through while there's kids in the crosswalk.
Your reputation precedes you.
And I look back on that now and I'm like, oh, that guy saw the future.
Yeah.
He crystal balled my future going, oh, my God, you have zero responsibility in your life. You're never even going to be able to be a crossing guard. And from then, it's been a life of mediocrity.
So when I saw that picture, it was that core memory. And I remember, like, I was a part-time crossing guard. I wasn't good enough to be a full-time crossing guard. So when kids were going to be sick, they would call my house.
You were the fill-in.
And I was like, I will accept this challenge. I wouldn't sleep. I would be like, I would have my safety yellow vest laid out.
I'd be
I was
up all
ready.
Night lowering and dropping the flag.
Essentially, I did it the same amount as like a normal full-time crossing guard. But I remember if you were a full-timer, you got to go to Valley Fair with Mr. Wilson at the end of the year.
Oh, that was the prize.
And I'm like, my mom knew that I basically worked a full-time crossing guard schedule. And I was not allowed to go. He looked at this little girl, 10 years old, who he knew busted her ass out there, rain or shine, snow, like the hard snow that hit the side of your face and it really hurt. And I did it with a smile on my face. And so she took me out of school one day and just brought me to Valley Fair.
But you weren't with all your friends.
I didn't care. I was there for the water park.
I do remember like being denied in the fall at the beginning of the school year. And then it got to the winter. It got to maybe November, December before we broke for a Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
And seeing my friends out there as I was on the bus or getting on the bus, the nice warm bus. Remember how warm the bus would be because they'd be running for so long? Those guys standing out there in blizzard conditions.
Yeah.
And me going, oh, you know, it wasn't that bad to get turned down from something like this.
Oh, my God. I remember this one time. I was not doing my crossing guard duties that morning, but it was Travis Joslin, my big crush. And he was stationed where I had to cross. And it was the day I couldn't find my backpack. And so I used my dad's huge army duffel bag. And I had my pencil in there and I had maybe a hair scrunchie or whatever. It was huge. It was the length of me. And I just remember.
He thought you were shipping off to Nam.
I was walking by and he just said, nice bag. I was like, I don't even know what compelled me to grab a huge bag like that. But I mean, it was the only thing.
So you used yours for a pencil and a scrunchie. I had taken one of my dad's old ones away to college because I had packed a lot of my clothes in that. Mm-hmm. And I use it. You could get two cases, like two returnable cases of beer in that thing.
Yeah.
And I would lug it across campus. Like I was literally headed out to Vietnam. It was so full of beer. Yeah. And nobody would ever blink an eye. They would just be, hey, how's it going? You see any of the security?
Yep.
7:30 Wednesday morning on the live show. $3,000 cash. It just keeps going up and up. The jackpot for coulda, shoulda, woulda. Who are you going to go with, Kat or myself? Who gives you the best chance at winning $3,000? Going to find out at 7:30 Wednesday. Right now, let's wrap up the podcast.
We've got email. We've got email. Got email. Got email. We've got email.
All right, phone calls, text messages, DMs, and emails. Love to have you on the show and get your thoughts on something, especially if you've got an issue you want to throw up.
All right, so Justine had emailed us, and I want to get to this. It says, I'm wondering how often people are opposite and actually truly make it successful. My husband and I, of 17 years, we met 17 years ago and had some differences, but we got along so well that they weren't even noticeable. Now we are so different that it's all I notice. He loves to talk about politics. I never used to. He used to be so adventurous and actually got me to try all these new foods. And now he won't eat anything but steak and potatoes. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to feel a little stuck. It's almost a turnoff. I'm wondering if this has happened to anybody else that has been in an opposites attract type situation. Thanks, Justine.
Jeez.
I would say that Derek and I were pretty opposite when we met.
How so?
I don't know. I was very frivolous with my money. He was saving like crazy. He had a whole $1,000 in his savings account. I would get my paycheck. I was 22. Get my paycheck, go to TJ Maxx. That's it. I would have no paycheck left.
You seemed happier.
I was very happy. I had like 8 magazine racks. I don't know why, but I was a happy girl and tons of sunglasses. But I was very adventurous with food. He was not. He like never ate vegetables until he met me, never tried sushi until he met me. So yeah, we were pretty opposite. Now, I mean, you know, we read each other. We got the same feelings about certain people.
You guys make fun of people the same way. That's your biggest connection. I notice about you guys. You guys will hammer on someone from afar the exact same, and you'll finish each other's sentences.
Do not act like a saint, sir. Oh, you and your wife.
I do the same thing. No problem. But that's one of the things that I love most about my wife is that if I'm gonna be completely derogatory towards somebody, she jumps in. She doesn't say stop being that way. She just adds to it.
Yeah.
And it's usually that the funniest little tweak on it.
Derek is a homebody for sure. I am an extrovert. I can go out, meet with people. He could just stay at home for the rest of his life and be super happy with it. And that's okay. But could opposites attract and really work? I mean, you could be opposite or still have a few things in common that fuse you together.
So Angelo is on line one. I want to bring him on next. He says he is a very, very big opposite of his girlfriend. I want to know if anyone else truly believes like you are absolutely opposite of the person you're with, but you're kind of making it work. I want to recap this email real quick.
Yes. Justine had sent us an email to our Playhouse email. Let me pull it up. Okay. She says, I'm wondering how often people are truly opposite and make it successful in a relationship. My husband and I met 17 years ago. We had some differences, but we got along so well that we weren't even noticing them. Now we are so different that it's all I notice. He loves to talk about politics. I never used to. He used to be so adventurous and actually got me to try new foods and now won't eat anything but steak and potatoes. I'm starting to feel a little stuck. So she's wondering, what's the secret to making opposites attract stick as a relationship? I hope you're not looking at divorcing him just because of those, because people change. You go through a lot of seasons of your life and you're not the same person as you were.
I feel like she's only concentrating on the things that they're different in. You know what I mean? She's probably not looking at the things that they have as far as like tendencies goes. And Angelo, man, I appreciate you holding for so long. We're talking opposites attract.
This whole opposites attract is a disaster. I'm very organized by fault.
Okay.
And my girlfriend, I've been with her for about 6 months, and she's very disorganized. I mean, everything you can think of, even when it comes to just planning a trip and packing and getting ready and scheduling and being on time, even being clean in the house, it's very scattered and frazzled. And for me, I'm thinking, I don't know if this is somebody that I can plan my life with,
right.
let alone to plan like to have a family. So it... not in my case. I think definitely there has to be a common ground.
That would be a huge deal for me too. I mean, that's not a good opposite. An opposites attract for me is like someone that likes to be outdoorsy and then someone that likes to hang out at home and then finding a way to meet in the middle. But organization is a huge thing in a relationship. Like I would lose my mind.
Absolutely, because if they're that way just with basic things, then what do you do when it comes to finances or paperwork, just emergencies? I mean, yeah, there has to be a common ground with that.
So would you consider yourself, and I'm gonna put you on hold here for a second, man. Thank you. I appreciate you calling the show. I know you got to get back to work. Would you consider yourself absolutely opposite than Derek or just in a couple of spots where it still works?
What I mean? The latter.
Really?
Yeah. I don't mind his opposites, but to have Angelo's opposites, like if it were something that would impact my life negatively, like somebody that is unorganized, Derek's got life licked. He can handle it. I can trust him helping raise my son. You know what I mean? Sometimes it feels like I feel so bad for the women that are like, I have four kids and a husband. And he's like a fifth kid. I'm like, oh my God, that sounds like a nightmare. You need a true partner. Derek's a true partner. But yeah, there are some times when I'm like, I'd love for him to come out, but having him be this many years sober, not wanting to be around drunk people. Yeah. I get it. I would never push him to do that.
Are you an opposite in a relationship? And it's still working. I'd love to get you on.
What's trending?
Think of the movie that you've seen that you're quite certain not a lot of people have seen, but you really like it. So Taylor Swift, she was admitting to her two favorite movies, and I've never heard of that.
Devil's Backbone and then Pan's Labyrinth. My whole world turned into folk tales and forests and mythical creatures, and I was just so dazzled by those films.
Have you heard of either of them?
Neither.
Yeah. I don't know if they're my genre. Like, I don't mind the magical stuff. Like, I really love Harry Potter. I would love for Liam to get into that. He just, like, won't. I don't know what it is about it. But what's a movie that you've seen that you don't think other people have seen?
Falling Down.
Who's in that?
Michael Douglas.
Falling Down.
Michael Douglas is a dude who used to work for, like, kind of a NASA corporation.
Okay.
Like he's like a nuclear physicist.
1993.
And he gets canned, and he's been divorced, and I think his wife probably has a restraining order against him. Like he's a little unstable.
Yeah.
But this is the day he snaps.
Okay.
It's his son's birthday, or maybe his daughter's, but whatever. But he snaps. And as he walks across the city, straight laced haircut, horn rim glasses, white shirt, tie, dress pants, dress shoes. He walks through the city and he encounters all of these people who are just mean, rude, just kind of on the fringe of society.
Yeah.
And at one point he shoots up a McDonald's. It doesn't kill anybody. Mm. But like the whole thing is that nobody is kind of right down the middle where he is.
Yeah.
And it's just called Falling Down. And at the end, he gets shot.
Interesting. You know, you convinced me to watch A Perfect Murder. That was pretty good with Michael Douglas. Ooh, that was really good. That's with Gwyneth Paltrow. The ones I'm going to say, The World According to Garp with Robin Williams. And Glenn Close plays his mom, even though they're only 4 years apart. Like, how sad would you be if you're Glenn Close? You get the assignment for the movie. You're like, what? I'm playing his mom? But it's such a good movie. And then also A Far Off Place. Have you heard about that with Reese Witherspoon? It was back in, I think it came back 94. But it is so good. She is living in South Africa, has been since she was a baby, and her parents get massacred by these poachers, these ivory poachers that are out in South Africa. And so she has to make her way across the desert. It is so good. But do you have a movie in mind that nobody, you're quite certain nobody has seen because maybe it's just your flavor? What is it?
So I was reading this article in the New York Post with this young woman who was allergic to the male fluid that makes the babies.
Oh, I wish.
Allergies to that. And it got me thinking, like, what's really, really weird? So I thought younger, I had a reaction to Ivory soap when I was maybe like 10 or 11.
Like the green, itchy Ivory soap?
No. What's the white? It's not that. What's the 99 and 90, 44 one-hundredths percent? There was one soap. It was a bar soap. And it's not Ivory. No, it is Ivory. You're thinking of Irish Spring.
Irish Spring. My dad had that and it was like sandpaper.
So Ivory soap is supposed to be like 99 and 3/4 pure.
Okay.
But I had a really bad breakout when I was younger. And when I went to the doctor, my mom took me to the doctor and he's like, why is it just, you know, why is the rash just around your armpits and your genitals? And I'm like, well, that's where I wash the most, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you're allergic to soap. And I go, I remember being 10 going, how are you allergic to something that's 99 3/4 pure? And he's like, there's something in there. And so I've never used Ivory soap again. Every once in a while, we'll get it in the men's bathroom as like the hand pump. And I can smell it before I get in there.
Mm.
And I stay away from it. And so I've got like little sanitizing wipes in my desk.
Yeah.
And so I thought, all right, well, who's allergic to something that's real? Again, being allergic to the male baby juice. Now, that's a great line for a girl that
I'm allergic.
I'm allergic, right?
I felt so bad for that. There was a show about it on TLC, like weird things I'm
allergic to.
And she was allergic to water and also her own tears, like any liquid that would touch her skin was so sensitive. And so she'd have to wipe with like a baby wipe to wash herself.
Carrie had messaged, same thing. I'm allergic to chlorine. I can't drink tap water, use ice, or take a shower. Only distilled water and bathing makes it tough to travel.
Yeah.
Some of the other interesting posts. Found out on my birthday, I'm allergic to kiwi, says Kaylee.
Okay.
Heather is allergic to lettuce, green peppers, red onion, anything like a vinegar or oil-based dressing. It all started when I was pregnant with my first child. Is that a big thing that you start developing allergies when you get pregnant?
You could, but like, I feel like as soon as it comes, it goes. You know, maybe you want to try it again or see. Just give it a little shot.
Shelly is allergic to caffeine.
Oh, my God.
That's a rough life.
That would be rough.
Potatoes. It triggers a migraine with the cold and it swells with hives, says Brandy. My husband's allergic to beer and deer hair, says Katie.
Avoidable.
gold sodium triosulfate.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that's like if you buy a cheaper gold ring or a gold-plated ring, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Brie Lynn, grass, trees, weeds, you know, earth.
Oh, man.
And then my favorite, Allison said pumpkin seeds, not pumpkins, just the seeds.
So Liam's friend is allergic to sunflower seeds, but not the oil. So it's kind of weird. Like the actual seed, he'd go into like anaphylactic shock.
You got to stab him with a pen.
Yeah. But like the oil, if you go to Subway, so that's like, I only feed this kid two things, pizza or Subway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm only confident in those two things, or maybe even like a cheeseburger from McDonald's. But in the bread at Subway is sunflower oil. And then also in like Sun Chips, sunflower oil is in that. And so you can have that.
Tim said, I'm allergic to spam, not email stuff, but literally spam.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are.
Really? What's in spam that makes it so allergic?
That's a chosen allergy. I just tell people, no spam.
And then somebody else said, Pearl said, I'm allergic to head lice.
Okay.
I can feel it as soon as it's on me. I get itchy all over. My face swells up.
Isn't that a normal reaction that you get really itchy?
Isn't it that seems like a not a very serious adult problem, unless you got a lot of kids and they're going to daycare and stuff like that and they get lice all the time. But as I was reading through these, I was like, that is crazy. So, I mean, so then if you want to start a family, let's go back to the first one.
Did you say roses? No.
Which one was hers?
Allergic to Tide laundry soap.
Oh, no.
And then also Karina says Big Red Gum gives me a migraine. So I don't think you're allergic to it. It just isn't your flavor.
You mean chewable Fireball?
Yeah.
I think that I read somewhere there's formaldehyde in Fireball.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll risk it.
That's it's worth a chance. But I mean, think about that. You're a young woman. You want to start a family. But to do that, You're allergic.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Yeah. Do you have to do in vitro then?
I would think so.
Or do you just push off the allergy?
Well, because they have to like inseminate you through a syringe, right? Like, isn't that how
it's like a big turkey baster.
So is it just when it comes in contact with the skin?
I don't know, but you got skin everywhere.
Yeah, you do.
And the last one, Brian said, my wife has a condition where she can have an allergic reaction to almost anything. One day is fine. The next it'll give her hives. For instance, milk.
Yeah.
One day she has it. The next day she gets hives. The other day she was fine with milk again. We have a drawer full of EpiPens and Benadryl. Surprise.
Scary. That is scary. Samantha, her son was allergic to corn in everything and then grew out of it. So there's that.
I had my grandmother, just last quick story. My grandmother, when she got divorced from my grandfather, she kept the house. And above her house was like another apartment, right? Like a full living area.
Yeah.
And so she rented it out. And this kid that I grew up and went to school with, when I go visit my grandma, I'd always just walk up the stairs and hang out with him. Right. Mm-hmm. But I noticed in his room, there was this big, like a pillowcase hanging from his ceiling.
Okay.
And I remember asking him one time, I go, Michael, what is that? And he said, that's all the stuff I'm allergic to so that I become unallergic to it.
Oh my God.
So what his parents were doing is they had a pillowcase full of the stuff that he was allergic
to.
And they give him small amounts of exposure.
Weird.
Thinking that he would get over it. Now, I don't know if that ever worked. I never saw him breaking out in hives or coughing or having an episode.
Yeah.
But
is it worth being uncomfortable until you're maybe going to be comfortable? You don't know if you'll grow out of those allergies.
I'm going to assume, and his parents were kind of hippies, that this was something that came from the 70s,
okay,
where they thought, all right, if you're allergic to grass, let's surround you in enough grass until your body accepts it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the chosen medical path nowadays.
I don't know.
But
if
he
I'd
had this
that.
Pillowcase full of stuff that he had to sleep under all the time and was exposed to it. Oh, I just thought that was kind of wonky.